Let's walk the talk.
This is Clemens Manya-Taylor
on 702.
So, 2 weeks ago, we started a series on African revolutionaries, especially those we have been robbed of their true and sufficient reflection and their contribution, right? Last week, we looked at the life of Patrice Lumumba. Before that, we focused on the life of Robert Sobukwe. And I want us today to look at the life of Julius Nyerere. He was Tanzania's first and longest serving president, a historical figure, not only in that country, but also in the rest of the continent and the world. He's actually the first African head of state to retire voluntarily. He was one of the founders of the Organization of the African Unity in 1963. And you probably know about the contribution he's made in assisting fellow liberation movements, including the ANC, even the PAC, I think Frelimo as well, when it sought to overthrow the Portuguese rule in Mozambique. So let's look at the legacy of Julius Nyerere and reflect also on some of his economic policies. I think one that comes to mind is the Ujamaa system that saw Tanzania going from, you know, the largest exporter of agricultural products in Africa to the largest importer of agricultural products in Africa. When he realized that the economy did not flourish, and he wasn't willing to lead Tanzania using an economic model he did not believe in, right? So he willingly announced that he would retire after presidential elections, you know, leaving the country to enter, if you will, its free market era and under the new leadership. But what an incredible leader. So if you've got some reflections, some questions about Julius Nyerere, or inputs about the kind of leader he was, you're welcome to join the conversation on 011-883-0702 or give me a call or WhatsApp, on 072-702-1702. Emma Nyerere is a Pan-African movement activist and humanitarian activist who's going to be guiding us through this discussion as we reflect on the life of Julius Nyerere. Emma, thank you so much for joining us for the conversation. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement. Thank you so much.
I don't know where we should be starting. Maybe let's start with his efforts in nation building. How do you reflect on that life? Because that's what he was passionate about, seeing a Tanzania that is united, but even more so, the continent that is united.
Yes, he was not only passionate about our nation as Tanzania only, he was more passionate about the continent as all. And he was a believer of socialist politics and independence. Mm. He wanted all African people to be, you know, free and independent, and not only mentally, but also, economically. So that was more of his struggle and fighting and winning, I can call it, and in his lifetime. And he was doing it practically. Not only theoretically, like the way we see our leaders nowadays, not only in the continent, even all over the world, they talk, but doing it, it's something else. It's challenging. He was more practical. Whatever, he was walking the talking. He was, you know, when he said, when he talks about socialist, he was also living as a socialist, you know, leading people by example. So, what I can say that is the ideology, like many of the ideology of our forefathers and foremothers in the continent, asked most of the people, they've left it behind because they say they're following the ideologies and they know that the ideology that can help us, because if it was he helped us to, you know, to be out of the, colonization, then it can help us even to build us up and be progressing, you know, and have a development. But it's just that because it's just remain in theory and it's not practical. So he was a practical person. Whatever he said, that's what, how he was living. That was his lifestyle. That it was, his life. Yes. Mm.
So he wasn't a champagne socialist. There's that concept of a champagne socialist that we often hear. Some of the lives.
For example, he was a socialist for Liri, practical. For example, He was a believer of, like I said, even also to be independent. He was very independent. Like people should, work and have and achieve whatever that they can achieve by their own effort and not depending on anyone. That was even in him personally. You know, there was no privilege even within the family or even within the government. It was not privilege that you just have to have the right to have whatever you have. You have the right. And how do you have the right to have whatever you have? By working on it to achieve what you can achieve by working, you know? So, he was a leader who, like I said, you know, practically was just doing whatever he was leading people to do. He was doing it himself practically. It was not just only theory. For example, he said, like, you know, as a socialist, you know, in socialist politics, he was saying if a leader must be a farmer or a worker and not to participate in any capitalist or profiteering thing. He was doing that himself. He was not in any capitalist or profiteering thing like we see many leaders now. He said a leader should not be a businessman. We have many business leaders nowadays. Actually, in the continent, there's a lot of our leaders now, as they are leading now, they're business leaders. He said a leader should not be maybe a director in any company, or should not be a director in a private companies, or any should not have shares in any company. Most of our leaders now are business leaders. They're even coming from a business, backgrounds, and they're still doing business even when they are leading their people. Even they'll continue after retire. You know, it's just, it's different because for him, a leader was a servant. You serve people, your people, you lead them for them to be, you know, more independent, more free. And it's not only free mentally, even to change our narratives. Like for example, now we are reading history. Most of our children are reading history, which has been written by other people who are, it's not a full truth. We are given half truth of a lot of things.
Yeah, and even in that history, I would argue, Emma, in our schools, even on this continent, we're not spending a lot of time telling our young ones about the revolutionaries and the history we have as a continent, right? Our history has been written by people with the sole idea of shaping our perceptions about where this continent comes from and where it's going. And I personally think we have been robbed. You know, what I'm reading now, you know, right? Because, you know, the literature that I allow myself to read now, I wish that we were exposed to this kind of literature on the true reflection of this continent and how resilient it's been and the incredible leaders we've had. And it doesn't mean that they were perfect, right? But it talks about how resilient they were and how they fought against colonialism. And that's why I thought we should do a series on these revolutionaries, because when you look at their true contribution, we're not getting a lot of that. I want us to talk about some of the failures now, Emma. I mean, there's no political leader who is perfect, whose government is going to be perfect, whose policies are always going to be successful. But one of the things that come to my mind when I think of Julius Nyerere is how committed he was, as you also indicated, to socialism, and even the policies that were built around that ideology. I mentioned earlier the Ujamaa system that saw Tanzania going from the largest exporter of agricultural products on the continent to the largest importer of these kind of products. I think he realized that the Tanzanian economy did not flourish, and he wasn't willing to lead Tanzania using an economic model that he did not believe in, which is why he willingly announced that he would retire after the presidential elections. What do you think didn't work about that particular policy? Because I also have a listener here, Dennis, who says, Clement, for me, Nyerere, I feel like some of the policies he had impoverished his country with that insane nationalization program. But now, thankfully, He managed also to unify the nation by having only two official languages, Kiswahili and English. I lived there for 10 years, an amazing country. That's a message from Dennis there in Pretoria.
Okay. I understand what he say. I don't agree in what he said anyway. I don't think for me, I believe that he didn't leave us in poverty, like many people think that he led us. He just left us, you know, where we cannot do anything. I don't think so. I truly believe that he led us to be, when we say that he had a socialist politics and independence, meaning that he wanted us to be independent. That's the meaning of it. To be independent, meaning that you can have all the riches and wealth you need, but you know, by just following some processes that doesn't harm other people or rob other people or steal from other people or kill other people. You know what I mean? So I don't believe what he said. I'm seeing that even now, as I'm speaking, Tanzania, we have, few challenges that we are going through. It's just because of those system that the colonizers left it to us. We're still, the most of our government are leading through, using those colonial system. And those colonial system, even you find you have a good, great leader, from, above. But if there's still those, some of the colonial system that we are using, then it won't change much. It's changing now slowly by slow, because people are waking up in the continent and realize that there's so many things in our system we have to change, so that we can really be truly independent.
Yeah.
But another thing is that when it comes to food justice, when it comes to food justice, he was a farmer himself. Like I said, he said he was a farmer. He was not a business person. A farmer, you have your own land, and we have a plenty of land. Like in Tanzania, we have plenty. In the continent, the whole continent, we have enough land. Can't compare with any other continent. But now, how do you use your land, whatever that is in our land, whether it's minerals, whether, we got good soil that we can also grow enough food for ourselves and even others. We can even, feed the other continents, with only the food that we can grow in our continent, because we have land. So what I'm saying is that now it's just we need just a wake up call, especially for young people, like what our president now is doing here in Tanzania, Mama Samia Suluhu Hassan, encouraging our young people to engage in agriculture, because it's important. We have land and we can use the land to grow enough food for us. We can even have more for even other countries, other nations and other continents. It's possible, but it's just to change the mindset of people. It's all about slave mentality. It's not about how he left up for us. It's a slave mentality. We needed to wake up. He wakes up alone, and then he was trying to influence other people to wake up. Now we have wake up. We wake up with that theory and that ideology. Yeah. Now we have to put it in practice, like the way he did himself, because that's what he was living. He was a farmer. He was eating his own food. And we're supposed to do the same. We are not supposed, our government is not supposed to be too independent. Why are we independent? I mean, why we have a land, actually a very rich land. We can grow anything in our land. We can grow more food for us and others. It is possible. And we can even build factories. There's people who are saying that we really need, others, even we didn't need colonizers to come, and help us. We need their factories, to build our industries. We don't need that. We can actually be more independent than we think.
Yes.
We can try to do that. We can build our own factories, because you grow your own food. Can't you just build your own factories? Can't you train your people to be a good technician? Because I can see even now, even when we build these small factories in our nation, now we are borrowing technicians from outside. I'm like, we can't even have skills. We can't train our own people to be good technicians. We need to borrow even technicians.
Yeah.
So it's us You know, we must not
yeah,
be less.
His modest, yeah, his modest lifestyle really, really did add to his moral authority. He was untainted. I don't know of any scandal or charges of corruption, and that's very rare coming from, you know, some of the African leaders. There's a message here, Emma, from a listener who says, Clement, his praise name is Mwalimu. Very befitting indeed. Was that a nickname? Was it a praise name? How did that come about?
Mwalimu in Swahili, Mwalimu meaning a teacher. So he was teacher. He was a teacher. It was not a nickname. He was a teacher. And really was teacher. Your teacher was teaching people, but he was a teacher. He was a lecturer. So he was a teacher. Mwalimu meaning a teacher. He was. It was not a nickname. It was not given. Because he was teaching people, you know, he was an educator. He was educating people. That's why they called him Mwalim, because he was not a nickname.
All right, Musa, you're calling us from Johannesburg. Good morning.
Morning, Clement. I'm glad we are talking about Julius being a teacher, because that's exactly what I wanted to emphasize. I was fortunate when I was at college years ago when studying for my teaching diploma. So there's a course which on education, and we were actually studying the book called Traditional Education.
Mm.
So he was the author of that book, and his narrative was simple. I mean, he was emphasizing the importance of the community, that the education must not be foreign. People must actually be taught for the important things around their communities. People must be taught how to fetch wood, fetch water, to chop wood. People must be taught all those basics, and they must be recognized as powerful skills because they're important for survival. So those are kind of things that I really appreciated in the olden days, and I still think about them as the very, very important fundamentals and principles for our communities to be taught. And that we learn from Nyerere. And indeed, he was an educator. The education traditionalist pioneer, man of high standard. Thank you so much.
Thank you for that reflection, Musa. I'm in Johannesburg. Another message here from Solomon, who says, "Good morning, Clement. As Ugandans, we are grateful to Nyerere for defeating Amin and mentoring Ugandan revolutionaries, including President Museveni. His greatest achievement was building a non-tribalistic Tanzania. Although Ujamaa failed, it was a bold African attempt at development. Museveni tried it in Uganda for 4 years before ditching it for capitalism." And Emma, that's another thing about Julius Nyerere, right? The legacy that he has as an African leader. He did a lot to ensure peacekeeping efforts in fellow African countries. And who can forget, of course, his intervention in Uganda?
Yeah, you know, he was like that. But, you know, it's also because he was free. He woke up early. He wanted to wake others, and he wanted others to be free, you know. And he did, most of his life, actually, his efforts was making sure in the whole continent we are all free. And after being free, then we must not think, but unite, continue to grow together and be also free economical. So that was his character. That's how he was, caring for others. It was like, you know, like if he has a shirt, he could give other person a shirt that he has and without caring that he doesn't even have one. That's how he was caring for others. He was more human, that Ubuntu philosophy we are talking about. He was practically living like that. If you have something that is that costs a lot of, maybe for example, you have a car that costs a lot of money, and he see, you know, other people around that they can't even have, they don't have even food, they don't know what they will eat, they don't even have one meal, or they don't go to school, and you have a car that costs a lot of money, He will ask you to sell that car so that he can give, you know, he can also...
A true socialist, yeah. Indeed.
Yes,
and then Solomon...
That's what we need now, practically. Yeah, people must, you know, must... do what they're talking, you know, walk the talk.
Solomon is also reflecting, yeah. Emma, on the achievement to build a non-tribalistic Tanzania. And I think that's one thing you've got to give him credit for, right? For maintaining, you know, a country that was united, there was national unity, and it was unmarked by any ethnic unrest.
Yes, all I can say, exactly what you're saying, like, you know, he was ready to sacrifice, you know, he was ready to sacrifice, you know, a lot, you know, for others, you know, without thinking, without having any expectation with what is he gaining, like, you know, like the way we are seeing now. Sometimes when we see, especially as like us young people, and sometimes we see things are you know, happening in the continent that we need, you know, to help out. Like you see something happen maybe in Somali and you need to help out. You would wonder, a lot of people will ask themselves that, before I help, what am I going to get out of it? Like, you know, expectations of what you have to give when you have something in return. He was not like that. That is something else that, you know, is difficult to see around. What I can say about my brother Clement is just like, I wish, like, for now, when we're going forward as Africans in the continent, we must, make sure that we elect leaders who will be, you know, practically, you know, leading us to unite, leading us to give more, giving to each other more, and not having any expectation of them having anything in return. We need those servants, not bosses, not, you know, we need those servants who can give themselves, you know, sacrifice themselves and lead us where we need to be.
Yeah.
Because now we are losing that.
Yeah. Let's wrap up with this voice note.
Hi, Clement. Hi, Clements. I don't really think Ujamaa failed. It's just that, you see, because this guy used to go in the field. I still remember watching the video when I was in exile in Lusaka. And then I also went and lived in Dar es Salaam. He could actually go into the field and farm with people, showing them that it is possible that you go in the field and farm. But the problem is that a huge population of Tanzania were a bit lazy to follow the principle according to how you wanted it conducted. So only a certain number managed to get involved in farming, and a larger part didn't. They still went and looked for jobs. That's why Ujamaa failed. Otherwise, it wasn't supposed to fail, and it couldn't have failed, because it was such a good principle, and advocated it, and he did it there physically and personally. Thank you.
Yeah, he was very committed to it, and that's why even when it was failing, because there was no commitment from more people in the broader public, you could argue, then he's like, then I'm not willing to lead a country under a political system that I don't necessarily agree with. But Peaches disagrees on Twitter, says, Clement, I feel like your guest is not being objective there. Nyerere's policies impoverished his country, but that need not entirely fall on him. Leading a socialist system in a capitalist world means one is doomed to failure. Even China had to embrace capitalism in their own way. That's a message from Nkosinati there on Twitter.